Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Documentary Podcast, Pulling Your Eyelids Open. I'm your host, Russell Price. I'm the publisher of Be There Magazine, the king of all marketing. We give it to you straight talk, no chaser. On our newsmaker line this morning, an entrepreneur beyond an entrepreneur, a fashion guru, Robert Bradshaw, owner of Rabbit Fashions. Before we get started, I want to thank our sponsors, CarShield. If your car is not what they call old or under warranty, or your warranty expires, you need to call CarShield. CarShield cars go further. Tori's Restaurant, Soul Food. Soul Food is still a staple in a lot of people's life, but it's hard to find Soul Food. Soul Food at Tori's Restaurant has been there for over 20 years. It's 700 V Street Northwest. Stop by and get your soul food. Welcome, welcome, Rabbit Fashions. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do, and how did you come up with the name Rabbit for Fashion? What makes that your name, Rabbit?
Yeah, good morning, everyone. This is Rabbit, better known as Robert Bradshaw, better known as Rabbit. I'm the owner of Rabbit's Fashion Boutique. I've been in business since 1990. I had a store located on Sheriff Road for about 12, 13 years. Before that, I was at the flea market down in Clinton for about 7 years. Basically, my opportunity is to basically sell nice quality clothes to the public and to the people. Right now, I'm working out of my home, which I live over in Southeast. Due time, I'll be giving everybody my address because I'm only be setting up pop-ups on Saturdays. But basically, I've been doing fashion shows around the city for some time now, back in the 90s and the 2000s, all the way up about 2010, 12, 15. Right now, I'm just, like I'm saying, I'm working out of my home, and the business is basically it's not like it used to be, but I'm still in here doing what I like to do. So anytime you want to give me a call, I can give you the number after we finish today's broadcast. So that's about where I'm at right now.
Excellent, excellent. The fashion business is not an easy business to be in. What made you decide to pick fashion as your entrepreneur adventure?
Well, you know, ever since I was in high school, I always liked to dress, right? And so basically, I feel like I like to dress to other people and women in particular. And that's how I really got started. I just enjoy fashions, and I'm just a fashion person. And basically, that's where I really got started. I just love clothes. I just like to see people looking good at a quality clothes at a good price. That was how I got started, but being a fashionpreneur myself.
Excellent. How did you come up with the name Rabbit? What made you pick the name Rabbit for your company?
Well, when I was young, I was raised out in Parkside, out in Kenilworth, and outside playing, and one of my friend's father said I looked like a rabbit jumping around, and that name stuck with me all through high school, junior high, elementary school, and so when I got there to do my business, I figured everybody knew me as Rabbit, so I just make it Rabbit's Fashion. I don't sell rabbit's clothes, but I'm talking about fashions for women and men. Not rabbits, I mean, basically not rabbit, animal rabbit, but rabbit's fashions. That's how I got my name being Rabbit.
And you also is an individual who don't mind traveling to sell your fashions. Tell us about being on the road and what is the advantage of being on the road.
Matter of fact, I stayed on the road doing shows. Matter of fact, I was with the hair show there for a while, for about 10, 15 years. I just traveled with the hair show all over, everywhere, all over the U.S., doing fashion shows and setting up as a vendor. And I just love doing it. That was where I was with that. I mean, I just loved vending. I was everywhere. I mean, anywhere from New York to Chicago, Chicago to Florida, from Florida to California. I just enjoyed doing vending.
Wow. So you would pack up all your stuff and drive down, or you fly down? Or how would you get to these places?
Well, most of the time, back in the days, man, you could fly on the airplane, man. You could take 3 or 4 racks of clothes on the airplane with no problem. That's how most of the time I was traveling by air, or either I would, and where I could drive, I would drive. You know, anything local in the Eastern Shore, Eastern and North and South, not West, not too much West, mostly North and South. Mostly was driving, and majority of the time, after the planes got so they wasn't, you had to charge so much for your luggage. So now I was driving all over the place. I had a trailer. I'd be in my trailer, pulling my trailer, and all anywhere I want to go, my trailer would be loaded with clothes.
Excellent. Because I'm telling you, to be in the fashion business is not an easy task. I myself was dabbling in the fashion business at one time, selling clothes, and I know a little bit about what you were going through, because it takes a lot of dedication, a lot of awesome commitment to be into fashions, because their fashions change so much, and every season you have to have fall fashions and summer fashions and winter fashions. It's just a lot to do. But you have
to
have...
It's a whole lot to do, but... I mean, there's a lot to do, but you have to love it to do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't like doing what you was doing, that wasn't the place. This wasn't the business for you to be in. I mean, it's very competitive. I mean, after the pandemic, you know, everything went going south. Everything went bad after that. The small boutiques really is really struggling right now, but I'm still trying to do what I like to do. That's right now. That's what I'm doing, like pop-ups on Saturdays at my house on Saturdays, basically anytime I can.
The pandemic affected the business tremendously, you say, because of the pandemic. It's now harder to have a small boutique or a small boutique in a shopping center. You think that still would work if you had a there's not very many boutiques left today. Years ago, in the 70s or the 80s, a boutique was something that a woman looked forward to going to because she found something that was totally unique, very different. She was not going to see it all over the city. And she would brag about getting her clothes from this quality boutique. Is that concept still alive, or is it dead?
Yeah, but that's dead, because what happened when they started going shopping online, that's killed the whole lot, killed all of the boutiques. And then when the small little started popping up, like Marshalls and TJ Maxx and Burlington, I mean, that really killed the small boutiques, because everybody was going shopping at those places instead of coming to the bases, to the small boutiques, and especially the black boutiques. But we really had a big problem. If you wasn't really had a, I mean, quality stuff that the people really like, are unique, you was like lost. You're really lost. And right now, people are not dressing like they used to. I mean, women don't wear suits at church. Well, everybody wearing jeans and sweatsuits at church now. So it's kind of hard for the small boutiques even to survive.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't think that women still wear those fancy hats to church and suits? They don't wear that no more to church?
But they still wear them, but, I mean, there's a few churches that do. Pentecostal is probably still wearing the hats and the suits, but basically the small Baptist churches where you do, I mean, they're not wearing hats and basic suits anymore.
Mm.
Everybody is mostly casual.
Come as you are, that situation.
What do you say?
Just come as you are. Just come as you are. You don't have to worry about having a suit on or be dressed up or look like you're going to church anymore. Like, people used to look like they're going to church. That was the thing. You know, I got my Sunday best on. I'm going to church. And that's what made church so
unique. Oh, yeah. Well, man, right now, I mean, basically the truth, when I was selling clothes and suits, and I was selling so many women's suits on Sunday for Sunday services, man. It was unreal. But now, if I can sell you a pair of jeans, it's easier for me to sell you a pair of jeans now than to sell you a suit. Back in the days, I mean, you couldn't sell a lady going to church a pair of jeans.
No, you didn't want jeans. You wore a dress and a skirt and stockings, and you had a hat on, you know, something to cover your head and stuff like that, you know. But that's what fashion is. So fashion's now. So online shopping, was it a positive thing or a negative thing for the boutique business? Or was it something that was more, because you could do more online than you could with the brick and mortar? It seemed like it saved more people money, or more people who's in the fashion business would look at the online shopping as a blessing, not a curse, because you could shop online.
You know, to my opinion, online shopping is really good for the people who want to go out. But if online shopping is good for some people, they love it, and then some people don't, because if it comes back something that you ordered and you don't like, or the size not right, and then what you got, you got to ship it back. But when you had the small boutiques, you wouldn't have to worry about shipping it back. You just go into the boutique, the local boutiques, and do an exchange. Now you got to put it in mail, go get to the mailbox, and have somebody to pick it up for you. But that's what happens to the small boutiques now, right? That's why only them are not local anymore, because everybody'd rather shop online than go into a small boutique. I mean, right there in the city, you got a few boutiques that's really surviving. Basically the smaller boutiques are really not surviving. The name brand boutiques is probably surviving, but the unnamed boutiques, they're not surviving too much at all now.
Well, you know, I was in Georgetown yesterday. I drove to Georgetown. And Georgetown was on a Sunday afternoon. It wasn't as many people walking around shopping, but a lot of people were shopping, and I saw a lot of people walking out of stores with bags in their hand. And those stores were still, I mean, there's hundreds of stores still in Georgetown. Little stores, I mean, little shopping stores. Women's stores and stuff. They're in Georgia. What makes that area still have women's shopping or boutiques or shopping places like that, people to shop? Why is that still booming?
Because in Georgetown, because they have so many different boutiques. I mean, they're probably surviving, and probably if you go in to talk to one of the owners of the boutique, they probably could say they're surviving. They're not like it was back in the 80s and the 70s and the 80s, the early 90s, they were really booming. But right now, I believe Georgetown and all the other the boutiques, I mean, they're just surviving. Just surviving. Yeah. I mean, we got a couple of black boutiques. I mean, they're really surviving, but, I mean, a whole lot of them are not surviving.
Right. Tell us about what a pop-up boutique is.
Well, basically, a pop-up boutique, so basically you just find a little location that you want to do a pop-up for, like on the weekends or during the week. They may be there for one day, or the next day they may be somewhere else, or it's nothing that's you just steady. I mean, they have some places, like down in Waldorf, they have very good boutique. I mean, pop-up boutiques, you come down on a Saturday, but you may not see the same person at that boutique the next Saturday. That's why we call it up, because we be popping up everywhere, anywhere we may, where we can get a low location or building, we'll pop it just for the weekend. That's what it's called, a pop-up boutique.
Now, what about the vending houses or places where they have these vending booths or tables? Are they still profitable? Now, I rode by RFK Stadium Saturday. It was cold outside, and you still had people outside setting up tables. Is that still an avenue today for people to set up their dresses and sell boutique stuff at a vending table? Would that still work?
Well, yeah. I mean, that is working for some folks. It all depends on what you're selling. Most time when you go to, like, the on vending roads where that pop up. I mean, they're used, mostly 90% of the things are like used clothes or not new. Most, I mean, some of them are new, and most of them are used, but you don't see too many of the regular clothes vendors that selling new stuff at that too much. Mostly it's usually used, but you may find three or four or five, you know, new pieces, but they're not like nice suits or nice hats. I mean, it's something mostly casual.
Excellent, excellent. I see what you're saying. It's a different breed today. Where do you see boutiques going in the future? 5 years from now, where will boutiques be?
Well, man, it's hard to say. Man, you're going to have, but basically, the same way I came up in my younger days, you may have some younger people that's basically maybe do that trend again. Who knows how it's going to go. But right now, basically, if me was to try to open up a motor boutique anywhere, I'd be skeptical about doing it. Because like I said, you have to have something basically that the people are looking for, like casual wear. I mean, not dressy suits anymore, basically now. I would not even try to attempt to open up another boutique myself, basically, no. Money-wise, I mean, because the rent is so high now, it's hard to make money on the boutique.
Yeah, it's hard to pay. By the time you pay rent, electric, employees, buy the merchandise, box the place up, it's going to be too much to have a boutique where you make money. It's going to be too much to you got to have a good turnover.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the turnover is not as great as used to be. With both, that's my opinion of it. With turnover, as far as getting to a boutique, it's the turnover is not that great.
Yeah, because people still buying clothes. Women still have to buy a gown or a dress or a formal wear, or they're going to a black tie fair. You hear all these designers on TV. You know, I bought my dress from so and so or Wear Wang or. I look at some of these boutiques and some of these shoe places and places that people are shopping. It's hard. I mean, I'm saying, how do they survive to pay the rent and to make money? But then you have some designers that come out, like some of these young people who designing outfits or got their own designer sneaker or something like that, and they seem to be doing what they become billionaires. Off of one item or something, or one.
Yeah, but then you have to get to the right clients. I mean, to do that, I mean, they do it for the movie stars and the you may have a thousand designers, right? But you may only have about 50 of them that's going to survive.
Right. Wow.
Yes, sir.
You truly have been doing this for a long time. You have survived a long time. Most people, I want to say a lot of people who have boutiques either close the boutique or they died. They didn't survive as long as you have done surviving in the boutique business. Matter of fact, it's only maybe one or two other men that I know that are doing fashions on a level that you have done it or are still doing it. There's one gentleman, I forgot his name, but he, at any fair that I go to, he's at the Black Caucus this year, and he was setting up, you know, his fashion. He's been doing it for years, you know, not as long, I don't think as long as you, maybe 15 years he's been doing it, maybe 15 years. But he's still doing it. He's still setting up
Man, I've been doing it since since 1990. Basically, I started in 1990 at the flea market. That's when I really got started. Matter of fact, I went to New York and I was buying little sweatsuits and T-shirts. And then I went to the flea market down in Clinton. And after that, man, things just started growing. And I just loved it so much. And I opened my first really big store on Sheriff Road in 97. And I probably would survive that one, but if the person hadn't sold the building, I probably would have been there. And that was really great. I mean, that was really nice spot. I mean, location was great. But now the people that I used to been with, I don't think they're not even in business anymore.
said, go by the store. Your store in Sheffield was a good location because it was right around the corner from Benning Road, Dell and Helen Burroughs. You had traffic from that side of the town, the other side of the town. There was no boutique in that whole entire area. None. Except for you.
I didn't realize the fact that I was really doing good at the boutique until I closed it.
Oh, you couldn't
and
say
I
you were
said,
doing
well,
good?
I,
you had no idea
what
you were doing
again?
Good?
Oh, yeah. I was really, that was a dynamite spot. That was a great spot. But what happened, if I could have afforded to buy that building, I would have been, it's no telling where I would be today.
Because you could have knocked the whole building out, built the whole thing out, made it one big boutique. You could have made the whole thing a big boutique.
Yeah, but at the time, see, sometimes you have to have that kind of money to do it. You know how that goes. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can rent. My rent was minimized, right? But I could not have afforded to go anywhere else at that time because I didn't have that kind of money. To begin with, I tell everybody today, if you want to start a boutique, any kind of business, you make sure you have at least about anywhere from $50,000 to $75,000 just to set aside for the slow months, because you know you won't survive. Yeah.
Back in the day, you could start a boutique with no money. I remember starting the boutique that with no money. You just get the location. See, back then it was not hard to get a location. You know what I'm saying?
When I started my boutique in '97 on Sheriff Road, I had no money.
Right.
I didn't pay rent for about 4 months.
That's what I said. You could do that back then. You can get a location. Like I say, in my place in Hampton Mall, I didn't pay rent for 6 months. The landlord gave me 6 months rent free just gave me the place. Same thing with on Kettering Shop and stuff. But you could go with no money. You could get the landlord to give you the location, sign the lease, give you 3 months or 4 months build out time. Say they give you 3 months to build the place out. They say, hey, well, you got 3 months to build it out, whatever. And you could go to New York and buy some clothes. First, you get to buy some expensive clothes, but you could put the stuff in the boutique and sell them. And as you sell them, you're making more money. You buy more clothes. Pretty soon, you got your place stocked and you make the money turning over because the clothes are selling like crazy. And to say, then you go to New York. If you don't done in Brad Street, and they give you 60-day, 120-day credit, so you got clothes coming in with no money down, and you can sell it that way. So it was easier to do a boutique in the 70s, the 80s, and 90s. You could do it very, very, very easy like that. And as long as you could sell, if you had any kind of salesmanship and you could sell stuff, you could really, do a good job as far as selling clothes. But today, fashions are different. People, now give us your take on fashion shows. What do you think about doing fashion shows? What's your take on doing fashion shows, Bradley? Hello? Bradley.
Hello, did we lost connection?
No, we good. I'm just saying, what's your take on fashion shows?
Well, really, I would love to do a couple of fashion shows. Matter of fact, I was at church on yesterday, and someone went, no, could we do another fashion show? I would love to do one, but I don't have the connection. I really still have the connection of clothes, but I don't have the money as of now to go out and buy, $10,000, $5,000 for clothes doing a fashion show and hope that I could sell them. I wouldn't take that chance now doing that. But I would love, if I could do a fashion show with the things I already have, that would be great. I hate to do fashion show where you're wearing your own clothes, Because if you're doing fashion, you wear your own clothes. Because when people come to a fashion show, they want to look at your clothes that you have and where can I purchase that? Can I purchase from Rabbit's Fashion? Or can I purchase from Dee's Closet back in the days or from Ida's Boutique? That's the kind of fashion shows you want to have. Now, you got to have a fashion show now where you be able to sell people.
Well, like me, you say, fashion show back in the day, and even today, when you do a fashion show, they bring the clothes that's in the fashion show. They bring the clothes right there in the back of the fashion show and sell them right on the spot. But right. In other words, the show, the model comes out, shows you the fashion. Then at the end of the show, all those clothes are on a rack right there in the back where they can buy them. The same
right.
Show, the same fashion they saw in the show, they can buy those fashions right there on the rack.
Right.
And then the way to do a fashion show today would be you use the clothes you have, like the clothes you already have. You wouldn't buy no mm-hmm. new clothes. You do the clothes that you already have. And then you
right.
would say to the person, hey, look, we're going to sell these clothes today at this fashion show. Whatever does not sell, you can come to the pop-up and buy them next week. But we're going to continue
yeah.
to do a fashion show every 2 weeks somewhere. You know, that's the way to go, I think, to do a fashion show at a location with the clothes you already have. And that way...
Uh-huh. I mean, if you had a nice spot, right, that you could do a pop-up, and you could do a mini fashion show at a nice pop-up if you had a nice location.
Right. Well, that's doable. I think that is possible to do it that way. I think that's the way to go today, especially in your situation. You have all the clothes already, so you don't have to worry about buying clothes, and you could do a fashion show at any location. Something you could do a fashion show somebody's clothes.
Mhm. Mhm. But right now, I'm doing like a pop up at my house. Basically, I'm trying to do the whole month of February a pop up on Saturday for Black History, and I have a lot of African wears and normal everyday clothes to do. So if I'm my that's what my project is now, to do a pop up at my home every Saturday or every other Saturday. That's what I'm looking to. To go online and let everybody know that's what I'm going to do. Basically, me traveling now is I read out of the question. You know, I'm not no young chicken anymore, Rob. I'm 84.
You look good, man. You look good. You're doing well, buddy. You're doing well.
Yeah. So basically, that's what my line is right now, to do pop-ups every Saturday. That's what I'm looking for. If I can get that out into the public, let them know that I'm doing it. Sometimes I'd rather like to do it for invitation only, because I don't want everybody just popping in, you know what I mean?
How many people you think you could have in your house at one time on a pop-up?
About 10. About 10.
Okay. About 10
yeah,
people.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I would do it by the, you know, so... I got you. They say 10 people come between 1 and 3, and then 10 people come between 3 and 5 or something like that. You know what I mean?
Mm. That may for invitation only. You could do an invitation only pop-up, special invitation to the Rabbit's Fashion Show. Many fashion pop-up. Yeah, that may work. But yeah, I think you got a good thing going. Your name is good. You've been doing it for such a long time, and you're basically are good at what you do. You know what I'm saying? You're not somebody just
Yeah, because Bob, you know, I'm looking back, Russell. People come up to me now and said, "Man, how's your store doing on Sheriff Road?" So everybody knew I was there. I mean, you know that everybody knew that Rabbit's Fashion was on Sheriff Road. But the thing about it was, it's crazy with Black boutiques, right? You know, I mean, the community, they don't support you like they really should.
No, they don't.
I've been always trying to figure out why.
Well, they don't support, but you see, they don't. But
right. Yeah.
What do you think is the biggest myth about boutiques?
The biggest what now?
Myth about boutiques today. Something you want to debunk. Something that people, what do you think people think about boutiques today? What's the biggest myth?
I don't think people think too much about boutiques right now because they go online. So everybody is shopping online, Google and Amazon, and so they don't have to worry about going out of the house or going to a boutique and trying on at the boutique and bringing stuff back home. But that's the biggest kick in ever for boutiques. Everybody loves shopping online.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have an online, doing it, you as you know, you're in trouble. Like you were saying, when we first came on. You got to put yourself on stuff online to for people to come by. You can send it to them. You don't have to leave out of the house. They don't have to leave out. But the thing about boutiques, you hate to go online and put yourself online if somebody don't like it and send it back because you don't have one item. And then somebody else will come on there. I need that item. But then you get it and you don't like it. And you want to send it back to me. That's the biggest thing I have about the thing about boutiques. You're shopping online for boutiques. Yeah.
What advice would you give?
When I had my store, we used to have like one or two pieces. We never have three or 12 pieces of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women never really like to shop at boutiques that have every, five or six suits, same suits, the same color, same style. It's crazy how they react to boutiques. I mean, they could go to like Macy's or Lord & Taylor and see 100 suits the same, and they'll buy one. But if they come to a boutique and see three or four suits, I don't know. I don't want to look like anybody else.
Right, right. They want to be different. They want to be different. That's what makes a boutique unique. You don't want to come to a boutique and see a suit. You want a boutique to be unique. You don't want that to be the same suit. You don't want them. They don't want that. No, they want a piece of jewelry or a suit, some kind of item that's unique, not the same thing that everybody's got.
Right. That's what I felt about when I had my boutique on Sherrod Road. I never had no more than two suits of the same color. You could order it, but it would never find five or six of the same color, same style suits in stock in my store. I always had like one or two suits, and then I knew that I could order you one. If you come to the store and said, hey, I like that suit, but you don't have my size, I could order it for you.
Right.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to someone who wants to start a boutique today?
Say that again.
What advice would you give to someone who wants to start a boutique today?
Well, the advice that I would have, if it's coming from me, would be that you have to make sure you have the right kind of clientele of people and you need cash flow. If you don't have that cash flow, don't even think about opening up a motor store. Because right today, it's hard for a small boutique to survive. If you don't feel like you got that cash flow, I wouldn't even bother doing it.
Mm-hmm.
No, unless you got a nice follow of people before you even open up your boutique. Say you start working out of your house, right, and you got about maybe 50 clients. And then you hope that your 50 clients going to follow you when you open up your store. Because basically you know that when you open your store, the price is going to be a little bit different than where when you had working out of your house or working out of a rental place.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my advice as far as trying to open up a small boutique.
What has been your biggest accomplishment in the boutique business?
My accomplishment?
Your biggest accomplishment. Yeah. What was the biggest accomplishment you had in the boutique business?
You know, my biggest comment, man, was seeing the people that I was selling to. I mean, they liked my merchandise that I had, and I never had too many complaints about coming back. And, you know, your clothes came to me damaged or they wasn't fixed good. I mean, that was my biggest compliment when I had my boutique.
Hmm. What do you wish you had known when you started your boutiques?
If I wish I had known really the concept of buying and selling and where to and how to get money to survive. I mean, I knew where to buy the clothes from. I knew how to go get the clothes, but my biggest compliment was clothes and being able to sell it to the people that enjoying the style of clothes that I was selling.
What was your biggest unique skill as far as you selling your clothes? What made you sell clothes more? What was your biggest skill, in your opinion?
Well, my biggest thing was, man, I enjoyed selling, right? And I enjoyed dressing men and women and make them look good. See, my thing was, when I would go somewhere and see somebody with a piece of mine on that I sold them, and they tell me, man, this is the best clothes. I mean, this is a real nice piece that you sold me. Everybody complimented me about it. That's what I enjoyed most about when I had my boutique.
Excellent. So you still, today in 2023, even though you started in the 90s, are you still just as passionate as you were in the 90s? Where are you at now as far as your passion is concerned?
Man, you know, I'm just as excited as I was back in the 90s. I mean, I feel basically now I started when I opened my boutique in 1997 on Sheriff Road, man, I feel just as excited as I did then as I do now.
What's the most common reason you think people fail or give up in the boutique business?
Well, I mean, did they gave up? Hold on one second. I'm leaving my phone because I'm watching that man. Hold on. Yeah, man. What was that again? What you saying?
What's the most common reason for people failing or giving up in the boutique business?
I mean, they're failing because people are not buying the clothes that they were buying back in the days. I mean, they're just not buying the clothes that they did.
So you don't think it's that they don't have the initiative to keep going, or they don't want to do what they need to do to keep going? They just give up because nobody's buying?
The price of clothes, man, is things a little higher than it used to be. I mean, people don't have that kind of money that they did back in the days. I mean, back in the days money seemed like it was more free or four when people were buying more than they did. Now, people are not buying like they used to. I would never try to open up a boutique now because I knew that people are really not buying like they used to as far as clothes. And, I mean, if you do it, you have to open up you have to think about what kind of boutique you're going to open up. Are you going to open up a boutique to sell T-shirts and sweatsuits and jeans? So that would be the way to go. As far as totally dressed up like gowns and people like that, I wouldn't do it. Man, people do gowns like for New Year's or wedding or something like that, but not every day like they was buying suits. Man, they were buying suits. It's men's ladies buying suits like every weekend somebody was buying a suit or two.
Well, some of the stores like the big, not a big box store, but something like a K&G. Why does K&G do so well with women's fashions and men's fashions? They buy it every single day. They send you texts out. They seem to be rolling with the hot sauce as far as selling fashions. Why are they so good?
I mean, it's almost like Macy's and Lord & Taylor and those places like that. But I mean, those are stores that's been around for a long time, and people just go to those kind of stores. I mean, they don't go to a boutique like they go to those kind of stores, like big box stores. I mean, people just shopping like Costco's and Sam's and BJ's. They're not shopping at boutiques like these do. You know, the boutique on Vermont Avenue, I mean, my girl up there, she's doing pretty good. I mean, basically, but she's online like every day. She's calling people every day to get there. People are not walking in the store like they used to.
Right, Right. And the walk-in traffic is not as good as it used to be. You want to feel located where you can go and see the traffic, people walking by, like Georgetown, there's traffic, there's walking traffic in Georgetown. People are walking around every day. Weekends, they're walking, you know, shopping and walking. But you got to have that walking traffic, you know, it's hard.
You got to have the walking traffic, and you got to have the drive traffic too, right? But even Georgetown, right. if you compare Georgetown today, like it was back in the 80s and 90s, it's a total difference. It's shopping.
Totally different. I was there yesterday. Totally different. It's not the same Georgetown where people were herds of people walking around.
If you would go shop, you just go window shopping. Say you go, I'm going to Macy's, or I'm going to Nordstrom's, or that place like that. You go in there, you don't see the people shopping like you do. I mean, if you go to Macy's or Nordstrom, they don't have these the salespeople that they used to have, because they know that people are not buying.
Right.
I mean, just imagine if you think that the boutiques are suffering, the big stores are suffering too.
Right, it's suffering too, because nobody's in there. Like I said, you go to Macy's, it's hard to find a salesperson. There's nobody walking up to you, running around to you. Nordstrom, certain locations, they close in Macy's over at the Bowie Town Center. They close the stores like that because nobody's shopping.
They're closing. If the big stores are closing, so how do you think the small boutiques are trying to survive? You got to have something really unique. It's something different. I would never try to open up another store anywhere. Basically, like I said, most of the vendors that you've seen today, the ones that we was vending with back in the day, they're doing mostly pop-ups.
Right.
I mean, even the girl on the Christmas thing that she has every Christmas, I've heard business that's not as great as it used to be. People not buying like it used to be, so. Right now, it's the Bible.
Wow.
Yeah. And right now, I'm putting myself on a small scale. I'm at the age now, really, that I'm doing it right now because I love doing it. You have to, in the business that selling clothes and stuff, like, you got to be like the public. You got to like people you got to like people, basically. Because if you don't, you're not going to survive.
Excellent. Well, this has been a wonderful interview. Give us your closing statements.
The closing statement is that, hey, Rabbit's Fashions is still in business. Rabbit's Fashions is trying to survive the business because I love the business, and I'm soon to do a pop-up like that every Saturday. And down the future, we'll give you the dates and times that I'm going to start my pop-up.
Excellent. At 84 years old, you are extremely commendable at doing what you're doing. Give us your website and your phone number and how to get in touch with you.
I don't have a website, but my email is rabbit7264@aol.com. My telephone number is 202-369-8733. Text me or call me anytime if you want to come by and check out my place. You can. If you call me, I'll let you give you the address and let you know what time you can come by.
And give us your Facebook page.
A Rabbit 7264.
And you can look at his Facebook page and see some fashion.
If you look at his Facebook on the Robert Brass Show, either Rabbit's Fashions.
And you can see some of his fashions on Facebook. Twitter,
Instagram. If you go on my Facebook, you can see some of my fashion. You can see some of my places where I've been doing pop-ups.
Excellent. This is Russell Price. I'm the publisher of Be There Magazine. We are winners. We'll see you next week.
All right.